Thank you for downloading from Robbie Zacharias International Ministries. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about Robbie Zacharias and the team at www.rzim.org.
The hope in atheism is not there. It's oblivion, nothingness, straying through an infinite nothing, no up or down, lanterns in the nighttime hours, noise of grave diggers. Without God, there's no moral framework. There's no meaning, no ultimate meaning, no hope. And lastly, there's no recovery.
Today on Just Thinking, Ravi is continuing his response to atheists who have become quite bold over the last few years. As Ravi will tell you, these aren't talking points for winning a debate. They are serious questions that deserve an answer and are meant to get others thinking deeply about life and their need of a savior. Here's Ravi.
The idea is this: if there is no moral lawgiver who is transcendent to you and me, then there is no moral law by which we must dictate our lives except the moral law that we invent for ourselves. The moral law says this: your life is of intrinsic value and I cannot violate it. If you take the Ten Commandments and put one word at the top of it, it'll be the word sacred. Life is sacred, time is sacred, property is sacred. Without God, there is no moral law. Without God, there is no meaning. Life has absolutely no meaning. But the third thing, he doesn't just promise you a moral framework, doesn't just promise you meaning. For the atheist, it is not there. The atheist has no hope. There's no hope beyond the grave. When life comes to an end, it's gone. It's finished like a vapor. I'll give you this little story and close with my final thought. You know, my father-in-law, my wife's visiting her mother in Toronto, and I'll be joining her next in just 2 or 3 days. I'm holding some meetings there, so we'll be together. But 4 years ago, she lost her father very suddenly. He was 85. From diagnosis to death in cancer, it was 4 months. Robust, healthy, fine man. I don't know if I've known a better man closely in my life than him. Perfect gentleman. Never saw him get into a car first without letting his wife in first. Never saw him sit down before he pulled the chair to let his wife sit down or his daughter sit down. He was the quintessential gentleman. I mean it. And when we lost him, and lost in my father-in-law, a man I so revered, my children just treasured him. But he shriveled down in the last 4 months as the cancer began to eat away at him, and he was so distraught because he never wanted to be seen with such indignity. He came down to a bag of bones and then for a long time even couldn't speak. I went and spent some time with him and told him how much his life had meant, what a light it had been to so many. He was a World War II veteran. Great engineer, worked for Shell Oil all of his career, 30-some years. Churchman, devout elder, godly man, daily with his Bible and his hymn book. And then lost his ability to speak. And his daughters were gathered around his bed. And as the last breaths were entering his body, he managed to get just enough strength to say these two things. I've quoted him in my book, The Grand Weaver. He looked at his wife of 65 years and he mouthed the words, "Jean, I love you." And then he lifted his eyes to the heavens and he said this: "Amazing, just amazing." And he was gone. The hope in atheism is not there. It's oblivion, nothingness, straying through an infinite nothing, no up or down, lanterns in the nighttime hours, noise of grave diggers. Without God, There's no moral framework. There's no meaning, no ultimate meaning, no hope. And lastly, there's no recovery. If you rejected him and you turn out to be wrong, that was a huge gamble you took in life. If you believed in him and you were wrong, nothing doesn't want to be something. That's what Pascal said in his wager. He said, look, boys, if I've been wrong, what is your test for meaning, happiness? And he said, I've been happy. And so if I die, I die. But he said, if you boys are wrong in rejecting him, you got a king-size headache coming at the end of it for having rejected the one who made you and framed you. I want to close with two things that I think will mean very much to you. The first one is this. In 1971, when I was in my mid-20s and did my first overseas trip, still an undergraduate student and priest in Vietnam, I remember going to speak to the American troops. They're the ones who took me around in their gunships, in their transport planes, and took me from city to city. God did a marvelous thing, and thousands came to Christ. My interpreter was only 17 years old. I was 25 with a cumulative age of 42. God brought revival in Vietnam. And one of those soldiers who was seriously injured there wrote this, Lord God, I have never spoken to you, but now I want to say, how do you do? You see, God, they told me you didn't exist. And like a fool, I believed all this. Last night from a shell hole, I saw your sky. I figured right then they had told me a lie. Had I taken time to see the things you made, I'd have known they weren't calling a spade a spade. I wonder, God, if you'll take my hand. Somehow I feel that you'll understand. Funny I had to come to this hellish place before I had time to see your face. Well, I guess there isn't much more to say, but I'm sure glad, God, I met you today. I guess 0 hour will soon be here, but I'm not afraid since I know you're near. The signal, well, God, I'll have to go. I like you lots, I want you to know. Look now, this will be a horrible fight. Who knows, I may come to your house tonight. Though I wasn't friendly to you before, I wonder, God, if you'd wait at your door. Look, I'm crying, I'm shedding tears. I'll have to go now, God, goodbye. Strange now, since I met you, I'm not afraid to die. On Fox News today, they interviewed a young woman by the name of Janelle Guzman. She was the last one to be rescued when the towers fell. She'd been there for so many hours, and her story was written called A Hand in the Rubble. That hand was sticking out when the firefighters and others heard the sounds of life and dug out the rubble and rescued her. If you go to preach at the Brooklyn Tabernacle or attend Brooklyn Tabernacle today, Janelle Guzman sits in the front row of the choir. And today she told them, I just kept praying and praying and praying. God answered my prayer. I'm one of those fortunate ones to still be around after that horrible incident. You know, when God gives you a purpose and hope, he reminds you that there's a time for you to live and a time for you to be called home, and he'll preserve you till then. And in a strange way, I want to close with this rather strange thing. It's quite funny, actually, and I have a reason for this. Because, you know, some years ago, the Russian chess master Garry Kasparov was challenged by computer programmers and systems engineers, saying they could design a computer that would beat him. And he took that personally. He was not used to losing like that. So they designed a computer and he beat it. Finally, the best minds in the world for IBM got together and they designed one called Deep Blue. And Garry Kasparov went into hiding because he was afraid that if he did lose, he would lose it, he said, for human dignity. I lost my dignity after the calculators came out. And he's talking about this. So they designed Deep Blue, Professor David Gelertner, at that time professor of computer science at Yale University, in Time magazine, wrote this about the challenge between Kasparov and Deep Blue. He said, "The idea that Deep Blue has a mind is absurd. How can an object that wants nothing, fears nothing, enjoys nothing, needs nothing, and cares about nothing have a mind? It can win at chess, but not because it wants to. No, it isn't happy when it wins or sad when it loses. What are its after-the-match plans if it beats Kasparov? Is it hoping to take Deep Pink out for a night on the town? No, it doesn't care about chess or anything else. It plays the game for the same reason a calculator adds or a toaster toasts, because it is a machine designed for that purpose. No matter what feats they perform inside, there will always be a big fat zero. No computer can achieve artificial thought without achieving artificial emotion too. In the long run, I doubt if there is any kind of human behavior computers cannot fake, any kind of performance they cannot put on. It is conceivable that one day computers will be better than human beings at nearly everything. I can imagine that a person might someday have a computer for a best friend. Oh, but that'll be sad. Like having a dog for your best friend, only sadder. The gap between the human and the surrogate is permanent and will never be closed. Machines will continue to make life easier, healthier, richer, and more puzzling, and human beings will continue to care ultimately about the same things they always have about one another, and many of them about God." You see, he couldn't resist the fact that the difference between a machine and a human being is God. You're not a machine. You're a creature created in the image of God. And when you deny God, there's no moral law, there's no meaning, there's no hope, and if you're wrong, there's no recovery.
As we mentioned at the start of the broadcast, these points aren't to help you win an argument with an unbeliever. They're meant to answer serious questions posed by those who want reasons to believe. Our concern should always be for them first. If you'd like to get a copy of this message, we invite you to call us at 1-800-448-6766. Be sure to ask for the title, Ravi Answers Atheists. You can also order online at rzim.org or rzim.ca if you're listening in Canada.
While you're on our website, be sure to check out the upcoming events to see if Ravi or other RZIM team members are coming to your area. You can also see what conferences are being hosted at the Zacharias Institute in Alpharetta, Georgia. You can find a schedule of all of our upcoming speaking engagements on our website. It's because of your generous donations that we're able to continue providing these radio programs and other resources to encourage you in your Christian journey and help equip you to share the gospel with gentleness and respect. Would you consider partnering with us? To donate, go to rzim.org and click on the Donate tab. If you're listening in Canada, that website is rzim.ca. Just Thinking is a listener-supported radio ministry and is furnished by Ravi Zacharias International Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.